Hello friends, welcome to V-School once again. We are on chapter 5. Chapter 5 and chapter 6 are very important from understanding the commodity exchanges. Chapter 5 is going to talk on Indian commodity exchange, whereas chapter 6 is going to talk about global commodity exchange. And when I talk about commodity exchange, we are going to understand more about your agri commodity exchange. The basic objectives of this chapter would be understand the different types of commodity exchanges in India, as well as make the students aware about different types of members who can participate in the trading on the agri commodity exchange. Because everyone cannot go and trade on agri commodity exchange, one has to take membership. And when we talk about membership, there can be different types of memberships. Chapter 5 will explain various types of commodity exchanges, different types of members who can participate, the requirements for becoming a member, and finally, it will also explain the contract specifications. Because all trades that happen on the agri commodity exchanges are based on contracts, and these contracts have standard specifications. Based on that, both the buyer and seller decides to trade. So we are going, this chapter 5 is going to give you some specifications that are actually standardized on the stock exchange, the agri commodity exchange, and these are standardized. In the sense, the specifications, the terms will be absolutely clear for both the buyers and the sellers while they enter into the contract. So friends, what is an Indian agri commodity exchange? Indian agri commodity exchange is a sort of market, is a sort of place where buyers as well as sellers buy and sell the agri commodities. When we talk about a marketplace, this provides a platform for entering into an agreement for buying and selling. The only difference between a general market where we all go for buying general things and a commodity exchange is, on an agri commodity exchange, the buying and selling happens on standardized contracts, derivative contracts, which can be futures and options contracts. Contracts are standardized on various parameters such as variety, quantity, quality, etc., etc. This is purely decided by the exchange. And why this standardization is required? To provide a transparency at marketplace, especially when large number of buyers and sellers are involved into trading. And the best part of this is the identity of the participant is not disclosed. So friends, when we talk about commodity exchanges, a question comes to our mind, how many types of trading happens on a commodity exchange? We can classify the trading into two main types. Number one is the pit trading, and number two is the electronic trading. Pit trading is more of traditional type of trading, whereas electronic trading is a gift of technology brought in online screens for trading. So let us understand what exactly is a pit trading, what exactly is a electronic trading. When we talk about pit trading, traders meet face to face at the marketplace and trade, unlike your electronic screen based trading. And when we say face-to-face, the trading happens on an open outcry trading. Each member tries to attract the other with his voice. And that's how they reach each other face-to-face. Trade takes some time to execute because the buyer has to deal with a floor broker to confirm and execute the orders. The floor broker keeps a summarized version of the ledger. And it can be favorable, especially in case of large and complex orders. The requirement of click flow of information between the buyer and seller is essential over here. And with the technology, with the advent of technology, this type of trading has almost vanished from the trading markets. So what is prevailing in the current times? In the current times, the pit trading has been taken over by electronic trading. What happens in an electronic trading? In an electronic trading, the trade is entered with the electronic trading platforms. These are provided by these commodity exchanges. Exchanges match the buyers and sellers because the buyers and sellers are connected with this electronic platform. It allows the market participants to view different trades and decide the best trading product they can buy. It facilitates the seller to showcase his deal. The trades are executed on a real-time, instantaneously, once confirmed by the exchange. So the price is booked the moment it is agreed by both the buyers and sellers, and this is settled. This is settled in the sense it is established that a trade has been done by none other than the exchange. Price discovery and trading happens online because each one has an opportunity to showcase and decide what to buy and what to not to buy, and that is how the demand and supply actually discovers a price for a particular contract. It creates more efficient markets. Electronic trading are cheaper and more transparent than pit trading, because whenever it comes to face to face, whenever it comes to a marketplace, it will always be costlier than an electronic place, because it just requires a terminal, the connectivity, and you don't have to travel from place to place. You can actually do a trading by sitting in your house or an office. Exchange also provides liquidity to both the buyers and sellers, because in case of a face-to-face trade, there may be a possibility of the money being stuck when your buyer does not pay. Whereas in this case, there is a guarantee provided by the exchange, and thus both the buyers and sellers enjoy liquidity in their trade. So, what is an agri-commodity exchange? It provides an organized market, rules and procedures for trading, standardized commodities contracts. The main function of an agri-commodity exchange is efficient price discovery and price risk management. We have to note one important aspect of agri-commodity exchange is only and only the members are allowed to enter the trades. Future delivery contracts for graded commodities can be bought and sold. Buyers agree to accept delivery of agri-commodities, whereas sellers agree to deliver the agri-commodities. So buyers obviously pay the price for this, for accepting, and sellers in turn give away their commodities and in turn get the value for it. The commodity delivery future contracts are usually closed out or traded before their expiration date. So there is no long carry forward. Exchanges do not participate in the process of price discovery. The price discovery is purely done by the members who participate. The exchange just provides a marketplace for trading. The supply and demand variables from around the world come together to discover the price. Future price gets adjusted based on the demand and supply of the commodity. So that is the ultimate factor which decides the price. Buyers and sellers on the exchange conduct trading based on the assessments of different parameters such as the specific market information, the inflation rates, the weather forecast, the market dynamics, expert views and comments, your government policies, as well as the most important factor, that is the hopes and fears which transform into a continuous price discovery mechanism. So these are just a few of the parameters which actually decide the price of a commodity, and this keeps on carried forward day by day, and the prices also change every day. If we have to tell in brief how does the price discovery actually happens, then we can say the markets keep on assimilating and absorbing new information based on the parameters which we saw on the previous slide. And throughout the day, basis this parameters or information, a transformation happens into a price which is agreed between the buyers and sellers. So this price is a very dynamic factor. It keeps on changing every minute. And based on the time the contract is executed, that price becomes a contracted price for the buyer and seller based on the execution at that particular time. The price of farmer's produce can be derived from the spot price. We see spot price is the current price. The price of farmers can be derived from the spot price by adding, number one, the cost of the transportation, the storage cost, the interest to be paid on the borrowings, the reduction in price due to the difference in the quality of agri-produce with the standards and specifications. So it is not necessary that a farmer may get a price what he wants. This would be the factors which can impact the price that would be paid to the farmer for his produce. Next, we actually see this universal exchange concept of the 21st century. We had already discussed this in our earlier chapters. When we talk about universal concept, it simply means the exchange provides trading into both the stock as well as commodities. Because initially the exchanges were offering only trading in stock products, whereas the modern concept, the universal exchange concept, permits trading into both your stock as well as commodities, and that too from several markets. The combined form of super exchange is called as universal exchange. The best part of this type of universal exchange is it offers a broader selection of contracts that can be traded. And the best example, and only a fewer example in our country, are the stock exchanges which got converted into universal exchanges. The best two examples are the National Stock Exchange and the Bombay Stock Exchange. So these are the two exchanges which are doing trading into both stock as well as commodities exchanges. Next, we have to see who are the participants into this commodities exchanges. There are three main types of participants. Number one, the hedgers. Number two, the speculators. And number three, the arbitrageurs. When we talk in terms of the speculators, they can be margin traders, they can be day traders, they can also be position traders. Let us see each one of them and what they aim for. When we talk about hedgers, hedgers use the futures market especially to reduce or eliminate the risk associated with the price of an asset. Their main aim is to balance the risk. Hedge the price of their assets by undertaking an exact opposite trade. So if they decide to buy something, they will take an exactly opposite trade to sell. So the net loss would be minimal. It is especially done by farmers who need protection against a rise or decline in the price of the farm produce. It is also done by wholesalers who buy the farm produce from the farmers for their production and consumption activities. A lower price can enable them to ascertain a correct selling price of their products and earn profits. This is very, very important for the wholesalers, because what price they are going to get is depending upon what price they are supposed to pay for the inputs. And once this input price for whatever agri produce they get is settled, then whatever profit margins they have decided today can be surely received in the future also. Similarly, food processors and agri-tech companies needs protection against the rise in the price of raw materials provided by the farmers. Same way like the wholesalers. Both exporters and importers can benefit out of hedging. Exporters need protection against the rise in the price on the farm produce they have promised to export in the future. And the same way importers need protection against the decline in the price of agri commodities into the local market vis-a-vis similar agri commodities imported from abroad. So hedging serves to be a very, very important concept to the farmers, to the wholesalers, to the agri processing companies, to the food processors, to the exporters, as well as to the importers. How can hedging be done using a forward contract or an options contract? Hedging can be done both by forwards contracts and the options contracts. The only difference between forward and option is forward is done bilaterally, OTC, over the counter, and options are done on an exchange. Forward contracts helps the investor to get a fixed price from the hedger and reduce the risk of adverse price movement, whereas option contracts helps the investor to protect themselves against adverse price movements in the future, which still allowing them to benefit from favorable price movements. One important tool that is used for deciding whether your hedging is effective or not is a hedging ratio. What exactly is a hedging ratio? Hedging ratio is defined as the slope of the regression line defined between the change in the spot price and the change in the future price. So the relationship between a spot and a future price actually gives us a hedging ratio. How is it useful for us in hedging? Hedging ratio indicates the extent of variation of the future price relative to the spot price. So, basis on that, we can understand our hedging is effective or not. Next, we move to the speculators. Who are speculators? Speculators actually use the futures and the options contracts to get an extra leverage in betting on future movements in the price of an asset. So they have their intuition by which they understand whether a price of a commodity is going to increase or decrease. And based on that, they carry out their trades with a pure intention to profit from it. Speculators absorb risk, keeping in mind the profits they can generate out of the absorbed risk. So their basic skill is into take a risk and create profit out of it. Speculation is not gambling, because gambling has no scientific way of taking risk. Whereas speculation has a risk factor, but it is not a blind risk, it is a calculated risk. Speculators play a balancing act between the bids and the offers and make the market cost effective and stable. Speculators' main aim is to profit from the price fluctuations. There are different types of speculators. Speculators can be a day trader, it can be a position trader, it can also be a margin trader. Each type of speculator is unique. Let us see this one by one. A day trader tries to take advantage of intraday movement of the price. Intraday is within a business day, within the business hours of the exchange. So whatever fluctuations that happens during the day, an intraday trader takes advantage of it. He executes a deal, whether it's a buying or selling, based on his intuition about whether the trade would benefit him or not. All their trades are settled by an undertaking of an opposite trade by the end of the day. So they need to square off the deal. There is no carry forward. So whatever profit and loss that happens into this complete deal that they have to bear for that day. A position trader greatly relies on the news, tips and technical analysis. So position trader may not want to square off his deal. So he may want to rely on some news which says there may be a future growth. So based on news, based on tips, based on technical analysis, a position trader takes a longer view to derive better profits out of it. They take and carry position for overnight or a longer term till their profit goal is achieved. The third type of speculator are the margin traders. Margin traders love to trade on a minimal capital. Margin trader is not required to pay the total value of his position up front. He is just required to deposit a fraction of the total sum, which is called as margin. So he leverages on the small amount and can trade onto huge volumes. So based on the appetite, a margin trader will bring benefits out of his trades for himself. Speculators use both futures and options. In case of futures, the potential loss as well as the potential gain is very large. Whereas in case of option, the loss is limited only to the amount paid for the options, the premium that is paid, that is at risk in case he doesn't want to execute the contract. We have seen different types of traders. Now we move another type of trader, that is the arbitragers. Arbitragers takes advantage of discrepancy between the prices in two different markets. So for the same commodity, they will ensure if the markets are different at different exchanges, then they can make a deal out of it and profit out of it. An arbitrager buys from an underpriced market and sells the same agri commodity in an overpriced market. So what is the difference? The spread that they generate becomes a profit. As soon as an opportunity is seen, arbitragers get out of line to take offsetting positions in the two markets and book their profits. So friends, this is what we covered up till now. Different types of exchanges. We have not yet gone into different types of exchanges, but we have understood what is an exchange, what are agri commodities exchange. Then we saw what type of members, or not type, what type of traders are involved into trading. Now we have seen before, trading can be done only by members of the exchange. So now on, we are going to see what are the different types of members, and we'll also see the prominent exchanges that are prevailing, more specifically the agri commodities exchanges that are prevailing in India. So friends, now let us understand who can be members of the commodity exchange. We have seen before, only members can do trades on the commodity exchanges. So we have to understand who are the members and what are the eligibility criteria for becoming a members of the commodity exchange. Members are the primary links. When we say link, it connects two parties. On one side we have exchange, on the other side we have the users who want to buy and sell. Only registered members can perform transactions. So when we talk about registered members, these members have to comply with certain requirements of the exchange. Then only they get registered as members, and only then they can trade. Registered members should have a high standard of integrity, because when we see they are the interface between the users and exchange, both the exchange and the users should have trust on this members. And that is the reason only those people who are having high integrity are permitted to become the members of the exchange. And this is tested by making the members comply with specific rules and regulations of the exchange. If anyone else other than the registered members want to transact on the exchange, what they can do is they can become the client. They have to open a trading account with these registered members, and on behalf of the clients, the registered members can transact on the commodity exchanges. Every commodity exchange have rules and regulations for members. When we say rules and regulations, these rules are specifically with reference to eligibility criteria, capital adequacy requirements, appropriate staff and infrastructure, the rights and privileges, as well as the margins and the fees that are payable. Now let us see the prominent commodity exchanges in India. The first we will look at is the National Commodities and Derivatives Exchange Limited, popularly known as NCDEX. It is one of the major online national level multi-commodity exchange. National levels means people from across can transact. It's not dealing with just one commodity, it's dealing with many commodities. That is why it is called as the multi-commodity exchange. It serves as an important connect between the farmers and the process of optimum price realization on agricultural produce. So on one side we have the farmers who want to sell their agri produce. On the other side there are the buyers. So this process is optimized through this exchange. The shareholders of the NCDX are national level institutions, large public sector banks as well as companies. So it is established by strong players. NCDX is regulated by Securities and Exchange Board of India, popularly known as SEBI. Now let us see some numbers about NCDX based on their annual report. NCDX has offered 22 commodities through 387 members, 2.566 million, 15,078 terminals, 265 warehouses with storage facilities of 0.97 million tons. Students are requested to actually see the annual report and confirm the exact numbers. As of March 19, exchange offered futures contract in 19 agricultural commodities and options contracts in 5 agricultural commodities. NCDX allows foreign persons with various types of people like individuals, sole proprietorship, partnership firms, limited liability partnership, registered under Limited Liability Partnership Act 2008, companies, corporations, institutions, incorporated companies Act 1956 and 2013, such other persons, entities, and may be permitted by the relevant authorities of NCDX. Students are again once again requested to update themselves with not only the numbers about various commodities, various transactions, various volumes, but to in general understand what activities have been undertaken by the exchanges during every financial years. Agri commodities offered at NCDX, cereals and pulses, fibers, oil and oil seeds, gour complex. In soft commodities, we have sugar, M, as well as spices. No person shall be admitted as a member of exchange if such proposed member, these are not to be allowed, not to be admitted. If that person who is an individual who is not a citizen of India is a body corporate who has committed any act which renders the entity liable to the wound up under the provisions of the law, is a body corporate who has had a provisional liquidator or receiver or official liquidators appointed to the person, has been adjudged bankrupt or receiving order in bankruptcy, has been made against a person or a persons, has been proved to be insolvent even though he has obtained his final discharge. And finally, he has been convicted of an offense which has been involved with fraud or dishonesty. So this category of persons shall not be admitted as a member of exchange. So one has to carefully note this criteria also. We have few more into this category, like a person who has compounded his creditors for less than full discharge of debts, who has been at any time expelled or declared as a defaulter by Commodity Stock Exchange Clearing Corporation, has been previously refused admission to membership unless a period of 1 year has elapsed since the date of rejection, incurs such disqualifications under the provisions of forward contracts, made thereunder as dissenters such as persons from seeking membership of commodity exchange. Exchange determines that it is not in the public interest to admit him as a member of exchange. So these details can also be seen from the websites. In case there are some typo errors, this always needs to be confirmed, and before you take any deal, before you take any decision, it's always better to check it live from the website, check it from the actual annual reports which are public documents, in order to avoid any such mistakes which might have happened because of some typo errors. NCDX members should comply with the requirements such as minimum age of individuals, proprietors, partners, directors should be 21 years. Minimum educational qualification of individual proprietors, one of partners, one of directors should be at least a graduate or having an equivalent qualification or adequate experience in commodities or financial markets. Two designated directors, partners should be at least HSE or equivalent qualification and should have minimum of 2 years experience in commodities markets. All corporate members should have minimum paid up capital of rupees 30 lakhs. Next, we come to the different types of members who can get registered at the commodity exchange. The first one is the trading cum clearing members. It shall be members admitted by the exchange who are entitled to trade on exchange on behalf of their constituents or clients and or on their own account. And they are entitled to clear and settle all such trades done by them. So we have to note this very specific point. When it comes to trading cum clearing members, they are entitled to clear and settle all trades done by them. The next category of members are the trading members, popularly known as the TM. TMs shall be the members admitted by the exchange. They have rights to trade on the exchange platform on their own account as well as on the account of the clients registered with them. But they don't have right to clear and settle trades by themselves. TMs will have to get affiliated with any one of the PCM, STCM for clearing their trades transactions. We are going to see the PCM, STCM also. So let us see the STCM, strategic trading cum clearing members. They also are required to be members of the exchange. They, in addition to existing rights and responsibilities as TCM, shall be entitled and liable to settle and clear the trades or transactions done by the members affiliated with it, especially the TMs and the TCMs. Next, we see the PCMs, that is, these are the professional clearing members. They also need to be members of the exchange. They shall be entitled to clear and settle the trades or transactions done by the other members of the exchange, such as TCMs or TMs affiliated with them. But they are not allowed to trade on the exchange platform. Sole obligation and responsibility of the members and the market participants to ensure about approved quality standards stipulated by exchange. Exchange is nowhere concerned with this. The commodity deposited, traded, delivered to the approved warehouse exchange is in due compliance with the applicable regulations laid down by authorities. These regulations, more specifically about Food Safety and Standards Authority of India, the EGMARC, the BIS, the Warehousing Department Development and Regulatory Authority, the state, central laws and authorities issuing such regulations is BIA from time to time. The provisions and rates related to GST, APMC tax, mandi tax, LBT, stamp duty, etc., as applicable from time to time on the underlying commodities of any contract offered for deposit, trading or delivery. So all this has to be clearly understood, and it would be the sole obligation and responsibility of the members and the market participants. The exchange shall not be responsible or liable on account of any non-compliance thereof. Next, we move to another commodity exchange of the NCDX, that is the Multi Commodity Exchange of India Limited, popularly known as the MCX. MCX is also a national level multi-commodity exchange. It also offers online trading. It's an online multi-commodity exchange. It serves as an important connect between the farmers and the process of optimum price realization on the agri-produce. Once again, these facts need to be cross-checked with the actual annual reports, the websites. During 2018, the permitted commodities increased to 21 and MCX is also regulated by SEBI. Agri commodities offered at MCX are black pepper, cardamom, castor seed, cotton, crude palm oil, kapas, mentha oil, RBD palm oil, and rubber. After seeing NCDX, after seeing MCCX, we also will look at the third largest commodity exchange, that is the Indian Commodity Exchange Limited, ICEX. Indian Commodity Exchange Limited is SEBI regulated. It's also an online commodity derivative exchange. It provides nationwide trading platform through its brokers. Its main aim is to provide future trading products in India's all economically relevant commodities, leverage the huge potential of commodities market, as well as encourage the participation of users to benefit from the opportunities of hedging, risk management, as well as the supply chain management in the commodities market. ICEX is having the privilege to launch the world's first ever diamond markets contract. Next important milestone achieved by ICEX is MMCE, India's oldest commodity exchange, was merged into ICEX in September 2018, and that's how it has got a larger turnover than before. The agri commodities offered by ICEX are cereals, plantation, spices, fiber, oil and seeds, the gourd seed, the isabgul seed, and as and when they decide more commodities to add on for trading, it would get added. We move to the fourth commodity exchange after NCDX, the MCX, the ICX, especially the remaining two when we talk, the National Stock Exchange, the Bombay Stock Exchange. This we have seen are the universal commodity exchanges because it offers both the stock as well as the commodities trading. Let's see one by one. BSE Limited, Bombay Stock Exchange, has launched the commodity segment on October 1, 2018 and has become an universal exchange with launch of trading in commodities market. BSE Limited became the first exchange to provide trading on single platform across different segments like equity, equity derivatives, commodity derivatives, currency derivatives, interest rate futures, debt instruments, and others. Next, we move to the fifth commodity exchange in India, National Stock Exchange of India. National Stock Exchange of India is also a universal exchange. It became universal in 2018. It launched the commodities derivatives segment in October 2018. It commenced trading in commodity derivatives with the launch of the bullion futures. So friends, this completes our chapter on Indian commodity exchanges. We saw there are five prominent Indian commodity exchanges. In the next chapter, we will look into the global commodity exchanges. Thank you.